Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous session, we had started to discuss the collection of the Quran as ascribed to just four people in the times of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we had discussed the narratives, and we had also gone through a single critique of the text of the narrative, and in which we had actually come to conclude that basically the word collection or jama, as used in these narratives, refers to memorization. And scholars who contend that the word jama'ah refers to a written collection, their opinion is not well grounded. And it was reasonably proved through various analysis in the last session that the word collection here actually means that four people had collected or memorized the Quran in the times of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of them belonged to the Ansar. Now, today, inshallah, we will continue with our critique, and perhaps we will be able to finish this topic as well today. The point of critique that we're going to discuss today, or the point that will prominently figure today, will be the restrictive style of the narratives. Now, as we know that there are several other narratives which say that there were many memorizers of the Quran, and we do find that these narratives are actually restricting them to four. And as if we go by the stipulation put forward by Hafiz ibn Hajar, then we can see that the second of these narratives is actually explicitly restricting the memorized to just four, and all of them to the Ansar. So this seems an anomaly and something which is ambiguous, because we know that the Muhajirun boasted of people who had memorized the Quran, and they were the Khazrajis as well, within the Ansar as well. So we need to perhaps analyze this restrictive aspect of the narratives, and that is what we're going to do today. And inshallah, also try to find out and analyze the text, the chain of narration of these narratives. Now, our previous authorities and previous scholars have also gone about interpreting this restrictive nature. And since it seems to be an anomaly, people like Al-Baqillani and Qurtubi have tried to make sense of these narratives, and they say that they cannot be accepted on their face value. So people like, for example, Al-Baqillani says that when Anas says that these four people had memorized the Quran, perhaps he's referring to just four prominent people, or he's referring to four people who had made themselves distinguished as teachers of the Quran also. So Al-Baqillani says that this could be one interpretation, and he qualifies these four people by these aspects. Qurtubi, in his own times, has also made remarks on this narrative, and he said that it cannot be believed on its face value, because right after the Prophet's death in the Battle of Yamama, it is known that several memorizers of the Quran were killed, and he says it was 70 of them. And he also says that in the time of the Prophet, in the Battle of Bir Mauna, we find that there were 70 memorizers as well who were killed on that day. So it is hard to believe that the figure four is mentioned in this narrative. He again interprets this narrative that he says that perhaps these were the four people with whom Anas had association with, or these were the four people who had become prominent and who had come to the knowledge of Anas only, and there could have been rest, but only these people came to his knowledge. So again, this is an interpretation of those narratives, keeping in mind the fact that whatever they say cannot be taken on face value, and some qualification has to be added to these narratives. Viewers, also very worthy of consideration is another interpretation, and another tawjih, as I would say, of these narratives. And this was put forth by Ibn Abdul Barr many years ago in his book. And once he presented this interpretation, we find its reverberation in Hafiz ibn Kasir and Hafiz ibn Hajar's works as well. And I'll present this interpretation before you in the form of the narrative which actually he has cited, and he has brought to surface. He says that this narrative that we find today is actually explained by another narrative that he quotes. And this narrative actually he cites in the biographical note of Hanzala ibn al-Rawi in his Al-Isti'ab, Ibn Abdul Barr's book Al-Isti'ab fi Ma'rifat al-Ashab, is a famous biography of the companion. So whilst describing the biography of Hanzala, he has actually commented on this narrative, and perhaps the comment is also in the form of a hadith, and I think the way he has cited it and the way he's commented about it later on might hold the key or the solution to, or the correct interpretation, I would say, of this whole issue. Let me read out this narrative before you. And this narrative also is from Anas. And Qatada is actually reporting this from Anas. And the words are, An Qatada an Anas qal iftakharat al-aus faqalu minna ghasilul malaika Hanzalat ibn Rahib wa minna man hamathu ad-dabr Asim ibn Sabit ibn Abil Aqla wa minna man ujizat shahadatuhu bi shahadati rajulain Khuzaimah ibn Sabit wa minna man ihtazza bi mawtihi arsh Rahman Sa'd ibn Mu'az faqala al-Khazrijiyun minna arba'u قرأوا القرآن على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يقرأه غيرهم زيد بن ثابت وأبو زيد ومعاذ بن جبل وأبي بن قعب. So Anas said, as reported by Qatada, once the people of Ozd, while expressing their superiority of the people of Khazraj, this of course is something which is understood in the narrative, they said, among us is Hanzala who was bathed by the angels after his death. And among us is Asim ibn Sabit, whose dead body was protected by swarms of honeybees. And among us is Khuzaimah ibn Sabit, whose testimony was equal to that of two men. And among us is Sa'd ibn Mu'az, on whose death the heavens trembled. In reply, the people of Khazraj tribe said, among us are four who read the Quran in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which no one except them did. And then he names them. And the people of Khazraj named them Zayd ibn Sabit, Abu Zayd, Mu'az ibn Jabal, and Ubay ibn Ka'b. So this is the whole scenario which he has put forward. And before I make my own comment, let me also present before you his comment on this narrative. Once he has cited this narrative, his words are, Yani, لَمْ يَقْرَاهُ كُلَّهُ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَوْسِ وَلَكِنَّ قَدْ قَرَاهُ جَمَعَةٌ مِّنْ غَيْرِ الْأَنْصَارِ مِنْهُمْ عَبْدُلَّهِ بْنُ مَسْعُودِ وَسَالِمْ مَوْلَى أَبِي حُزَيْفَةَ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عَمَرِ بْنِ الْعَاسِ وَغَيْرُهُمْ. That is, none read the whole of it from among you, O people of Aus, but it was read by a people of other than the Ansar. And among them are Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Salim, the Mawla of Abu Huzaifa, and Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-As. So, viewers, in his opinion, actually, he says that this is basically nothing but a debate of superiority which went on between the Aus and the Khazraj. We know that the Aus and the Khazraj tribes of the Ansar, they were involved in the Munazara or the debate of superiority amongst each other from the times of Jahiliyyah. And this seems to have continued even after they had accepted Islam, because given the tribal situation and the tribal affiliations, we know that tribes do express their superiority and their own preference over other tribes. This is something we find very common in ancient times, and perhaps this is a practice which continued in even after they had accepted Islam. And you can clearly see, actually, this was a debate between the Aus and the Khazraj, and the Aus were actually boasting that their four of their people were given these special qualities or special traits. And in reply to that, we find that the Khazrajites had said that if you have those four people, then amongst us are four people who have memorized the Quran. And you can clearly see that in this narrative also the word qara has been used, and which further establishes our previous conclusion that actually the word qara is used for memorization and not for a written collection. So basically, what he has shown us is that this narrative is nothing but an expression of mutual supremacy between the two tribes. And we know that the opinion of the Khazrajites was obviously something which came to their knowledge. It was not Anas that he was citing his own view, as can be seen from this narrative, or as has been claimed if we strip these background details and then go back to those original narratives of Bukhari. It just seems that Anas is actually reporting this munazara of supremacy between the two tribes. And again, when the Khazrajites have claimed that they have four people who have memorized the Quran, this is something it's their claim, and it is basically a claim which matches the claim of the Aus. So basically, we see that this issue is actually a case of tafakhur, as we find in very common in Arabic Jahiliyyah and later on as well. Now, viewers, I have made some more research on this, and I think that what Ibn Abdul Barr has come out with is very, very likely and is very near the reality, because in my own research, I was able to found narratives which are very similar, reported by very similar people in the first three tiers of their report, and one of the narratives contains the background details the way I have just read out before you. And the other one is also by the same set of narrators, but it has been stripped of these background details. And just the last part has been reported, in which the Khazajites actually have claimed that there were four people who had memorized the Quran. And now if we strip this narrative from these background details, then it becomes a narrative of absolute statements in which certain people are claiming, or the Khazajites, or even Anas is claiming, that there are just four people who had memorized the Quran. But if we look, as I said, on other narratives which are very similar, reported by similar people, I have been able to locate that narrative, which clearly says that actually it was a background. This background existed in certain narratives which were in circulation, but some of our other people actually shortened this and stripped this narrative of its actual background detail. As you can see on the screen before you, I'm not going to read out the text before you or the chain of narration. Both of these chains of narration are being displayed before you. The top one is the one in which you'll find the chain of narration or the narrative which has the complete details, and it is cited in the Musnad of Abu Ya'la. And the bottom one is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and you can see that it is stripped of the details. It is, you can see the narrative is from Anas, and Anas, it is reported by Qatada, and from him, his student Sayyid ibn Abil Aruba is reporting, and then we find Abdul Wahhab from Sayyid reporting. So you can see that these are the four narrators which are common to these both narratives. And you can also see from the chart which is now being displayed before you that in this particular narrative, you can see that in the narrative by Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which is found in his Musnad reported by his son, Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the narrative is reported without the background details. But in the rest of the four, or the rest of the six, in fact, chains, you will find that the narrative has been reported with the full text. And you can also see, viewers, that it is actually Abdul Wahhab ibn Atta, who was the student of Sayyid ibn Abi Uruba, who is reporting this narrative from Qatada, and Sayyid is reporting from Qatada, Qatada from Anas. And as you can see clearly, that Abdul Wahhab's students, there are seven of them. Just one of them, which is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, we have the shortened version. Otherwise, in all the rest of them, thus, for example, in the version, as you can see on your screen, the version of Abdul Wahhab ibn Atta, as reported by Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Aruzzi, has the complete background details. Then Yahya ibn Abi Talib's narrative has the complete background details. Then As-Saghani's narrative also has the background details. Then Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ibrahim ibn Sa'ad, and Yaqub ibn Ibrahim. All these narratives have these background details. Also important is the fact that one can ask that why then is this Ahmad ibn Hanbal's narrative without these details? Of course, there can be a number of explanations to this. Thus, for example, we can just conclude that Ahmad ibn Hanbal or some narrator in that book actually shortened this version, and this often happens in the case of hadith narratives, that narrators do shorten versions which are received by them. And another explanation could be that Abdul Wahhab ibn Atta actually narrated himself the shortened version to Ahmad ibn Hanbal's in that version, and he narrated the full versions to the rest of his students, and whilst he narrated a short one version to the one in which we find Ahmad ibn Hanbal recording this narrative. This again could be a possibility. But the fact is, we can see that overwhelmingly a large majority of his students actually report this narrative with those background details which I have just delineated before you. And also, viewers, that one important thing that is worth noting is that from Qatada, besides Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba, we do find there are other students as well who report this narrative. And I'm afraid in all these narratives, we don't have the background details. So as you can see in the chart, Qatada in the chart is actually, from him, we find Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba reporting this narrative. But besides Sayyid, there are other people as well who report this narrative. And amongst them, for example, we have Shoba ibn al-Hajjaj, we have Hammam ibn Yahya, we have Ma'mur ibn Rashid. These are the people, for example, who are also transmitting this narrative from Qatada besides Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba. But what we find is that these narratives do not contain these background details. And now, one probability is that, again, as I said earlier on, the rest of the narrators did receive this narration in its complete form, but they shortened it. And Uvir's also worthy of the fact is that authorities like Yahya ibn Ma'in regards Sayyid ibn Abi Uruba to be one of the most trustworthy persons who narrates from Qatada. And you know what the words which Mizzi has recorded regarding this in his Tazib al-Kamal is about him, about Sayyid ibn Abi Uruba, is that Asbat al-Nas fil Qatada. Yani, it means that Sayyid ibn Abi Uruba is the most trustworthy narrator who reports from Qatada. So again, this is something which goes in favor of the narrations of Sayyid ibn Abi Uruba, in which he has actually transmitted through his student Abdul Wahhab ibn Atta the narrative and the background details. And as far as other students of Qatada are concerned, which I just mentioned before you, and then again we can see that this is very important when Yahya ibn Ma'in says that that Sayyid is the most trustworthy of amongst Qatada students. So this is again something which clearly tells us that this narrative has a very, very strong basis and foundation. So viewers, we can see that this narrative has some holds perhaps the key to this whole problem. But the only thing is that besides the fact that this is actually a narrative in which we have some discussions on the chain of narration, and we need to see that if it is sound enough to qualify as a narrator which solves the problem. And this would be the subject of our next subtopic, which I'm going to discuss today. And that would be the chains of the narration of the narrative which we have discussed. Now, viewers, in this particular section, I'll discuss the chains of narration of the two main narratives of Imam Bukhari, which we discussed last time. And also we'll discuss the chain of narration of this background narrative, which we find in the which solves the problem, or is supposed to solve the problem. We shall look if it is sound enough to regard it to be a basis of the solution. Now, viewers, let's come to the first narrative which I had recorded before you or read out before you. It was the one which is being displayed before you on the screen. And in this particular narrative, I would like to point out the critique of Tamanna Imadi. Tamanna Imadi has criticized this narrative on the basis of two narrators. He says that, as you can see, Hammam ibn Yahya is figuring in this chain of narration being displayed before you. He narrates from Qatada, and Qatada himself obviously is there. So what Imadi has posited is that he says that people regard Hammam ibn Yahya to be Sikha, yet he had a bad memory. So he points out his bad memory as a flaw in this narration. And he says that for this reason, according to him, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Kattan would not narrate for him, not narrate from him. And according to Ibn Sa'd, he would make mistakes. The words are Rubbama ghalata fil hadith. And Abu Hatim has also complained of his bad memory. And the words are fi hifzihi shay. And Abu Bakr Braviji has regarded him to be la yuhtajju bihi, that one should not deduce on his basis. So this is his critique, Tamanna's critique vis-a-vis Hammam ibn Yahya. He also says that since Qatada ibn Di'ama is present, and Imadi says that he is famous for tadlis and irsal, and is also an exponent of fatalism. And viewers, you can see the second, before we go on to the second narrative, so this is the critique that he has presented on the first of these narratives. Summing up would be that Hammam ibn Yahya is a person who has a very bad memory, and the fact that Qatada is a person who is guilty of tadlis and irsal. So therefore, although he's not pointed out how tadlis is present here, but this is what he says, and I'll also analyze and give my feedback whether Tamanna's these two points of critique are corroborated or not. But before we do that, let me also point out Tamanna's critique on the second of these narratives. And now the second of these narratives, you can see, is being displayed before you. In this regard, Tamanna says that this narrative is weak because it contains a suspect narrator by the name of Abdullah ibn al-Musanna. And you can see that Abdullah ibn al-Musanna is found in the chain of narration which is being displayed before you, and he's actually the person who narrates from Sabit al-Banani. So the critique that he puts forward is on the basis of Az-Zahabi's Mizanul Etidal, and he says that Abdullah ibn al-Musanna is regarded to be Za'iful Hadith and also Munkarul Hadith. So he's a person who is Munkar al-Hadith, and he's a person who is Zayif al-Hadith. So therefore, we can clearly see that Tamanna is insinuating that both these narratives are not that sound. Now, as far as my own input on both these critiques or both these criticisms which relate to both these narratives is concerned, let me point out that as far as Tamanna's critique on the first narrative is concerned, the first part of it, that Hammam ibn Yahya is a weak narrator and that he's a person who is impugned with a bad memory, is absolutely correct. However, his contention that Qatada ibn Udiyamah is guilty of Tadlis or Irsal, we can clearly see in one of the variations that this Tadlis is not present, because I can point out that one of the narrators says the word Sa'altu Anas, that I asked Anas, which means that he has expressed that he is directly he has directly met Anas and narrated from him. And we don't find any instance of Irsal as well. So therefore, his critique on this particular narrative in which Qatada's Tadlis or Irsal is mentioned, I don't seem it to be well grounded. But I do think that history books and Rijal books do corroborate his critique that Hammam ibn Yahya is a person who has a bad memory. Now let's go on to the second narrative, and which was the one in which we find the explicit nature of that restriction being present, in which it is said that none except these four people memorized the Quran in the lifetime of the Prophet. As you can see, viewers, the chart which is being displayed before you, it actually sums up all the narratives of this second category of this restrictive style. And as you can see that the hinge point of this whole schematic illustration is again Abdullah ibn Musanna. And Abdullah ibn Musanna, I have just pointed out before you, the critique about him is that he is Za'iful Hadith and that he is Munkarul Hadith, as is pointed out by Zahabi in his Mizanul Etidal. And not only this, let me also further point out some points of criticism on Abdullah ibn Musanna, because Abdullah ibn Musanna, as is pointed out by Zahabi in his Mizanul Etidal, it is that Abu Dawud al-Tayalsi says that he does not record narratives of Abdullah ibn Musanna in his books. Zakariya Sadi says that there is Zuruf in him and he does not belong to companions of Hadith. Al-Azdi says that he narrates Manakir. Al-Uqayli has mentioned him in his Az-Zu'afa. Ahmad ibn Zuhair reports from Yahya ibn Ma'in that he is Laysa Bishay, and An-Nasai says that he is Laysa Bil-Qawi. Ibn Hajar, while giving his verdict, says that he is Sadukun Kasirul Ghalat. So all in all, the base point is that he was a person who is basically regarded as weak or untrustworthy because he did not have a sound memory. Now, this is the summary as far as the two narratives of Bukhari is concerned. Let me also point out that the background narrative of Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba as to what its chain of narration looks like. And you can see its chain of narration being displayed before you on the chart. And you can see that Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba from narrative from Qatada, which Ibn Hajr and later on, Ibn Abdul Bar and later on Ibn Hajar has presented, has the following scheme of illustration. Now, as far as the flaws in this scheme of narration are concerned, let me point out the flaws as well, because we have to be honest while discussing even narratives on which we think that they give us as a solution. So the first critique that comes to my mind is that there is the anana of Qatada present in all the narratives. In all the variants, we have the anana of Qatada, and we know that Qatada is an established mudallis. Whilst Yahya ibn Ma'in and Ad-Dar Qutni, now this is the second point of criticism. So whilst Yahya ibn Ma'in and Ad-Dar Qutni have not impugned Abdul Wahhab ibn Atta, in the opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he is Za'if al-Hadith and is Mustarab, which means that his narratives has discrepancies. However, Ahmad ibn Hanbal has dismissed the charge against him that he heard Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba in the last years of his life when Sayyid was actually inflicted with a bad memory. This is a This is actually a point of criticism which people have raised against Abdul Wahab ibn Atta. He says that he heard from Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba when Sayyid was in that state of bad memory. But Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that this is not correct. According to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he had heard from Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba earlier when his memory had not left him. In fact, Ahmad ibn Hanbal is reported to have remarked that he is the most knowledgeable of all regarding narratives from Sayyid. So this is something which Ahmad ibn Hanbal has absolved Abdul Wahab ibn Atta from. But I would also like to point out another chain of narration in this regard, and it is cited in Ibn al-Jawzi's Al-Muntazim. And in this regard, we find that in this particular chain of narration, Abdul Wahab ibn Atta does not exist. He does not exist. From Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba, another person narrates, and his name is Al-Haysum ibn Adi. And he is the person who reports from Sayyid ibn Abi Aruba. Now, Al-Haysum ibn Adi is extremely untrustworthy. Ibn Hajar records, according to Al-Bukhari, he is Laysa Bisiqa, and he tells lies. Abu Dawud and Al-Ijli say that he's a great liar. Al-Nasai and Abu Hatim regard him to be Madrukul Hadith. Abu Zura says that he's Laysa Bishay. Ibn Sakan, Ibn Jarud, Ibn Shaheen, and Ad-Darqutni regard him to be among the Zurafa. In the opinion of Hakim and Al-Nakash, he narrates munkar narratives from trustworthy people. So this is how the other variant of this narrative, which is not reported from Sayyid by Abdul Wahab, but instead of Abdul Wahab, we have Haysam ibn Adi reporting from him. So we can clearly see that that particular branch of this narrative or this variant has very significant flaws. But as far as the other narratives are concerned, in which Abdul Wahab ibn Atta reports from Sayyid, we find just two flaws, that one of them is that Qatada is Anana, and the other one is that Abdul Wahab ibn Atta is recorded as weak by some authorities. So overall, we can see that these solution narratives, or the narratives which we regarded to have the solution, also have some flaws present in them, and they are not absolutely technically sahih. So, viewers, this is a summary of the critique on this narrative, both on its text and on its chain of narration. Now, the issue is that what then should we conclude in the background of all this information? Now, my own submission in this regard would be that, firstly, obviously, we have to concede the fact that these background narratives have some weakness in them. But before I comment on that, let me also present before you the opinion of Ma'zari, as is recorded by Abu Shama in his Al-Murshid al-Wajiz. He says that it is against common sense, and I think what he says carries a lot of weight. He says that whenever we find narratives which restrict the number of memorizers to four, the way these narratives are, then this is something which is plainly against common sense as well, because it would be virtually impossible for a person to count all the memorizers which were present in the times of the Sahaba, because people had gone out from their territories, they had settled outside in areas. So therefore, it is extremely difficult for a single person to boast or say that the number of memorizers are such and such. And especially difficult is the case when he restricts these memorizers to just four. And again, we have the tone of that narratives actually making them belong to a single tribe, and all of, by saying that all of them belong to the Ansar. So Al-Mazari is actually skeptical. He says that people counting just four memorizers is something which is against common sense and experience, because it is virtually impossible for a single person to claim that he had counted all the Sahaba in the presence of the spread out nature of the Sahaba. And if we keep this thing in mind, and if we also need to find out and what exactly was the situation in this regard, and again, in spite of the fact that these background narratives do carry an amount of weakness in them, but again, I would say that at best, these narratives at least hold the key to the problem. And if we think that these narratives recorded by Bukhari have any place, have any background, then it has to be the fact that they were actually spoken in this background of mutual tafakhur, in which the Aus and the Khazraj tribes were engaged in a battle of proving one another's superiority. And this sentence came out from the Khazrajites in response to the sentences uttered by the Aus tribe of their own superiority. And we find that although these chains of narration are weak, but the way this narrative explains the narrative of Bukhari, it is almost like saying that all the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit perfectly. So even if its chain of narration is not that sound, but the way it explains the matan of the Bukhari text, I would give my weight and my own vote in favor of these background narratives. And to Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr and laud him for presenting this narrative and for telling us that actually this absolute presentation of four memories of the Quran has to be viewed in this background. And also another thing which is significant in this regard, viewers, is that if we accept this narrative, then the issue of discrepancy of the number of memorizers is also resolved, because we find the names of Abu Darda and Ubay ibn Ka'b are the two people who do not match in both the lists of the Bukhari narratives. But if these background narratives are accepted, we can see that in the background narrative, it is Ubay ibn Ka'b who figures, and it is not Abu Darda. So perhaps this is another solution which will make both the lists very consistent, and both the lists having the same people, and both the same people would be that we will subtract Abu Darda from the second, from one of the lists, and we will think that it is actually Ubay ibn Ka'b who was rightly there. So this would be another plus point in if we take these narratives. So all in all, my own contention on these narratives of Bukhari is that when we see, or when we consider the fact that only four people had memorized the Quran from the Ansar, then this is not an absolute statement. This is not even a statement which gives the number of memorizers or has anything to do with counting the number of memorizers. All it is doing is it is reporting a debate of mutual tafakhur, mutual superiority between two tribes. And this, as I said, and as you would be knowing, is a very common feature of the Jahiliya tribes, and they would indulge in this mutual tafakhur very often. And this is plainly that statement. Neither is Anas counting the number of memorizers, nor is giving any absolute count by presenting the opinion. All he's doing is he's just reporting a debate which went about between these two tribes. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات